Welcome everyone to a new interview on Small Caps Investment Research. We are very pleased to have Mr. Brent Charlton with us today, the President and CEO of Enwave Corporation. We've obviously been following the company for quite a while, but recently several events have taken place that indicate that all the pieces of the puzzle are falling into place. The company is listed on the TSX Venture Exchange with ticker symbol ENW. Brent, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome.
Thanks for having me again.
Brent, let's start with the significant progress that you've made during the past weeks and months in the cannabis and hemp sectors. Could you start by telling us what the added value of Enwave's REV technology is in those industries?
Certainly. So our patented technology, which uses, again, vacuum and microwave to create a low temperature controllable environment to remove moisture very precisely from cannabis plant material, we provide cost and time saving to the user. Essentially, the end product is going to be very similar to what a cannabis manufacturer would get using other traditional means. However, if they can dry the plant material in less than 1 hour, as opposed to multiple days, typically 3 to 7, dependent on strain, that's a massive advantage. Also, the footprint of our machinery is far less than what would be required for traditional humidity-controlled air-dried rooms to dry the same amount of product. And finally, when you combine the fact of reduced footprint, less time, and also reducing the opportunity for blight or mold to take hold in crops that have been harvested, we provide a significant cost savings to our licensees in the space.
Well, that's excellent. Just a few days ago, Enwave entered into a commercial agreement with Aurora, of course, one of the world's largest and leading cannabis companies. Would you give us the specifics of this deal?
Essentially, Aurora has agreed to enter into a tripartite sublicense to use radiant energy vacuum equipment in Canada. They've signed a master license in Europe, ex-Portugal, to use REV technology, which is a different scenario in that we will work together to find additional sublicensees, so other companies in the space to use our technology, and have agreed to share a percentage of any royalties generated through those sublicense partners. That economically aligns us and I think is providing a foundation for a very robust partnership. That was further solidified by Aurora's interest in making a $10 million strategic investment into Enwave via a stock swap that was valued at 5-day VWAP. That transaction took place and the market reacted incredibly favorably.
And in March of this year, you signed a similar agreement with the Green Organic Dutchman, another major Canadian cannabis producer. Would you give some more color on that partnership and also an indication of the potential annual royalties that Enwave may receive?
Yeah, absolutely. So our partnership with the Green Organic Dutchman is slightly different from Aurora in that it's a sublicense only for the country of Canada through the Tilray Master License. However, TGOD, their commitment to the machinery and technology has been phenomenal. Thus far, they've already put a placement orders for a 60 kilowatt continuous line and 3 120 kilowatt continuous lines, more than our other two partners at this point in time. So the plan is with TGOD is to have all of their machines installed by the end of this calendar year. And in terms of the production capacities on those 3 120s, and a 60 kilowatt machine, you're looking at prospectively 140 metric tons of finished product with those machines operating one shift per day, 250 days per year. So if you look at the funded capacity of TGOD, this is going to take a large portion, if not all, of their drying needs.
Wow, well, that's quite impressive. And are you able to handle all those machine purchase orders, what manufacturing capacity is concerned?
Absolutely. We have been diligently planning internally for growth, and we will handle growth in a number of ways. First, we leverage our suppliers. We are by far master assemblers. We are not metal benders, so we acquire different components and then through our know-how and designs, create these value-adding dehydration mechanisms to our partners. So we will leverage them to complete more of the tasks, outsourcing. Second, we have confirmed an additional 30,000 square feet for assembly prior to shipment to the site of use. And we've also been hiring additional staff so that we can have multiple assembly and installation teams deployed globally at the same time. So certainly we can address our current pipeline, but we're not only preparing for that delivery, we're preparing for growth in that pipeline throughout the rest of this year and into 2020 and beyond.
Okay, very good to know. Now, your first major partner in the cannabis sphere was Tilray. Can you give us an update on the developments with that partner company?
Yes, so Tilray purchased a 10 kilowatt trial unit to refine the processing parameters with individual strains, and also two 60 kilowatt continuous lines. The first 60 kilowatt will be installed at their Ontario facility. That machine has now been shipped, so it should be installed within the next, call it, month to month and a half. The second machine will be shipped to Portugal this summer with the goal of having both machines operational before the end of fiscal 2019.
Now, thanks to the U.S. Farm Bill, which legalized hemp a few months ago, you're also able to sell REF machines to U.S. hemp companies. What is the potential there, and how does the sales pipeline look at the moment?
Well, like the marijuana industry on a global basis, industrial hemp also makes sense for us to pursue. So at this point in time, our business development pipeline includes several major U.S. hemp companies that we're discussing prospective partnerships with at this point. We will vigorously target and pursue that market. However, we will not be selling any machines into the United States for the use of dehydrating marijuana or any federally illegal substance at any point. If the legalities change in the country as a whole, then certainly we will pursue more opportunity in the U.S.
Earlier this year, you announced significantly improved first quarter financial results for the period ended December 31st, 2018. And I know you can't disclose a lot, but how does the rest of the year look like what sales and earnings is concerned?
Well, it looks very promising, and I can provide, you know, that positivity because we've already disclosed a number of purchase orders that have been confirmed on machinery, which we will recognize a high percentage of that revenue over the coming quarters in fiscal 2019. The amount of purchase orders that EnWave has received in the first half of 2019 has vastly succeeded all purchase orders of the past 4 years. So we're targeting profitability for fiscal 19. We should see steady growth over the coming quarters. And everyone internally right now is very optimistic. It seems that we're firing on all cylinders.
Okay. Of course, Moon Cheese was a major contributing factor to those excellent first quarter results. What are the goals for the crunchy cheese snack this year?
Part of the growth prospects for NutraDried is heavily influenced by the very talented management that we've brought in to run that subsidiary company for us. We hired a gentleman by the name of Mike Pitalinski in August of last year, and he's done a phenomenal job of providing us with a budget and certain fiscal targets to achieve throughout this year and next. We did 16.4 million top line in fiscal 2018 in Moon Cheese sales through our subsidiary NutraDry Food Co. We're targeting north of 25 million top line for fiscal 19. And, you know, right now my targets are looking a bit conservative based on some recent interesting updates. And moving through for 2020, you know, we'd like to prospectively double that, to be frank. Those are the targets that we've set for ourselves. And I think it's achievable based on the plan that Mike and his team have created.
Fantastic. Now, can we expect new products being launched at NutraDry this year?
Yes, but not necessarily new products in the sense of different materials, but different flavor profiles, different formats in terms of size of packaging will be launched along with a rebrand later this year. And all of those decisions and changes and improvements that are being made have been guided by hard data collected through vigorous market research, which, again, will hopefully accelerate the growth of that company.
And with all the ongoing sales growth at NutraDried, is the sales team there being expanded as well?
Indeed. So Mike recently made a senior hire, so a new VP of sales, to work alongside him in the execution of the plan for growth. He is top-notch, very experienced salesperson who's only going to improve, I think, the execution of our plan.
Next to cannabis and moon cheese, what are the other major growth drivers for EnWave in the foreseeable future?
Well, we have a, obviously vested interest in pushing our presence in the cannabis market as fast and as large as possible. You mentioned NutraDry's growth has great prospects, but then we have really a basket of options, meaning that we have another, 24 commercial royalty-bearing licenses that are all active. Terms have been agreed to and machines have been purchased that can continue to grow and thrive. So certainly, not all partners will enjoy immense success. Hopefully, all enjoy success, but I foresee some of these projects that we've been working on with the likes of Arla Foods or Friesen Campina, two of the largest global dairy companies, as examples, as potentially growing quickly based on commercial successes. So, really, I think there is a huge amount of runway for growth in the food space with our licensed partners, not only with current ones, but also with new ones being signed on this year.
Okay. And another major potential business opportunity for EnWave is, of course, the agreement with the United States Army. Would you give us an update on the latest developments there and also tell us what the potential is for REF applications in the military?
Yeah, so we're working on a project with the U.S. Armed Forces to improve the quality and phytonutrient content of military rations for close combat warriors. So they purchased two machines to accelerate the product development. They will basically, or we hope this year, determine a number of military rations which they would like to procure through their supplier network. They would then post a contract to be fulfilled, and then the suppliers are the likely licensees of Radiant Energy Vacuum Technology to then buy machinery and then supply the U.S. Armed Forces with the finished military rations. We hope that we can see progress so that sometime in calendar 2020, we have at least one supplier producing at least one product for the United States Armed Forces.
Okay. And as a final question, in July last year, you announced a collaboration agreement with GEA Lyophil of Germany, a giant company that has been active in freeze drying for over 60 years. During our previous interview, you mentioned that you were still in the feeling out stage. Has that evolved since?
It has evolved, but certainly we're still filling each other out in terms of how our future potential partnership would be structured. So I can't say much more than that. We do have a meeting forthcoming this summer with both Merck, our partner in the pharmaceutical space right now, developing a continuous pharmaceutical-grade REV machine, and GEA. So I think if we can have a fruitful discussion this summer, there's the potential for a long-term partnership to commercialize potentially REV in the pharmaceutical sector.
Fantastic. Brent, we really appreciate the time you've taken to speak with us today. All the best to you and EnWave, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thanks very much.